rare at the manger rude and bare. So may we with holy joy, pure and free from sin's alloy, all our costliest treasures bring, Christ to thee our heavenly King. Holy Jesus, every day keep us in the
friends, welcome to worship today. Happy New Year. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We are celebrating the second Sunday after Christmas today. So you can see the Advent wreath is still out, representing those values of hope, peace, joy, and love that come through Jesus Christ. Today is also a communion day. So if you need to pause this recording to prepare the elements of either bread or crackers and some wine or juice, please do that now. One of the things we do regularly here as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we acknowledge the land upon which we are free to worship. We are honored to gather, serve, and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honour their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools and commit to support, advocate for, and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. Would you join me in the call to worship for today? God has caused light to shine in our hearts, the light which is the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We come to worship and adore the babe newborn, who is the light of the world. Glory to the newborn King. Let us pray. Holy God of the ages, in deep reverence we bow our heads and hearts at the foot of the manger that your divine Son exchanged for a cross. He is the light that enlivens all the world, the light that darkness cannot overcome, Shine love's pure light in Jesus Christ into our hearts, that we may worship the Godhead, the three in one, fully in grace and truth. In the beautiful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's pray together the prayer of confession. Compassionate Lord, you call us to a higher standard than we have achieved. Therefore, we bow in honest confession of those thoughts, words, and deeds that have missed the mark. Within our families, we have loved imperfectly. Among sisters and brothers in the church, we have not fully walked in the light. Often, our congregations have not reflected the rich diversity of people in our communities. In our witness to the world, our lives have not adequately testified to your redeeming power. Forgive us, gracious Lord, for permitting ourselves to be distracted from the goal of our discipleship. Heal the brokenness of our hearts and restore us to you, our first love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, God's light is present in the world, present in the Christ child who was born to lead us out of darkness, present in the star that guides us all in love. God's light is in the world, and the darkness did not overcome it. God's grace is in the world, and our missteps will not overcome it, because we are loved and we are forgiven. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen. Friends, on this Sunday, as we prepare to gather at Jesus' table, let's confess our faith together by saying together the new creed.
We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The Word of God comes today from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 10 to 18. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.'" From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. Friends, this is the word of God given for you. Thanks be to God.
In the book of Acts, there is a story of something happened to St. Paul during his time in Athens. He had been speaking and preaching to various groups around the city, telling them about Jesus. And he had a captive audience because Athens was full of people who loved to think about the latest ideas, especially the latest ideas about philosophy or the gods. One day, Paul was actually taken to speak before a group who considered themselves to be the keepers of these kinds of ideas. And when he spoke to them, he commented on an altar that he had seen in his travels around the city. According to its inscription, that altar was dedicated to an unknown god. Paul saw this as an opportunity to explain to these Greek philosophers who that unknown god was, and that he was not actually unknown at all, quite the opposite. I share this story from Paul's ministry because I often wonder if we might be finding ourselves in a similar situation now, similar to the one Paul found himself in first century Athens. Over the last few years, I seem to be hearing more and more talk about the universe. Something good happens in someone's life, and they say that it was the universe that brought it to them. Or they're hoping for something to go a certain way in their lives, and they hope that the universe will be on their side and make it happen. Right now, it just seems to be socially acceptable to attribute this kind of supernatural, somewhat good-hearted activity in our lives, the kinds of things that we might call blessings, to a being that people are calling the universe. Now, honestly, this doesn't bother me at all. In fact, I think it's kind of cool. I'm glad that people are open to the possibility that there might be something more to our reality than just what we are able to perceive, that there might be something bigger than us involved in life. When I hear someone talking about the universe and what it has done for them, or might do for them, I think it's a little like Paul reading that inscription to the unknown God in Athens. Sometimes these things are opportunities for us to be able to share who that something more they are sensing really is. Like Paul, we might actually be able to fill in some of that rather nebulous picture they have of this benevolent force that they're calling the universe. Our reading today actually has a lot to say about this because it tells us who Jesus is and why he matters. But as we heard when it was read, it is a theologically complex and deep statement, absolutely incredible and beautiful, but very complicated. So unless you happen to be in conversation with someone who is been trained in philosophy, I really don't recommend just quoting this passage to them. But I do recommend that we each understand what it says, because that can be extremely helpful as we think about what we might have to say to someone who is open to exploring more about this entity that they're calling the universe. Now, at the risk of oversimplifying one of the richest passages in the whole of Scripture, in broad strokes, this reading tells us that Jesus was fully human and was, is, and remains fully God as well. The essence of what Jesus' followers have believed about him since the beginning is that he was both human and divine, and that those two natures existed completely and in harmony within him. Now, we can accept that Jesus was fully human. For heaven's sakes, we have spent the last couple of weeks celebrating his birth as a very human newborn baby. And we know that there is historical evidence that a man, a rabbi teacher named Jesus from Nazareth, really did live on this earth and leave his mark. We might also be able to accept that we worship a God who comes in three distinct and yet united persons, and that Jesus is actually the second of those, that he is God the Son. Individually, it is possible to get our minds around the idea of Jesus being human or Jesus being God. But trying to hold those two things, being fully human and fully God together at the same time, that's a different story. Trying to grasp how this works, that Jesus was somehow both human and divine at the same time, is a much, much more difficult thing to do than just holding on to one or the other of those things. Honestly, I don't really think that any of us can possibly fully grasp this. But just because we don't understand it doesn't mean we don't believe it. Nor does it stop us from trying to articulate it. And that's really what John has done here in our passage today. Were we to tackle this whole reading, we would be here far longer than you or I want to be. So for today, we're going to focus almost exclusively on verse 14. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. In this one verse, we are hearing about both Jesus' humanity and his divinity. And as we explore it, let's start with the second of those, with the fact that Jesus is God. The verse starts distinctively, as we heard, by talking about the Word, using a capital W. This idea of God's Word actually wasn't new to people when John said it. People knew about God's Word being spoken, God's Word creating, or leading, or foretelling. That the words God spoke were actually literal expressions of God's personality. And they were one of the primary means through which people got to experience God. God's words were the way they saw him act. Pre-Christian Jewish and Greek philosophers would have talked about the idea that there was something more out there, something that did guide and direct and put some sort of order to life. So this concept of the Word as that guiding, creating force, it wouldn't have been a huge stretch for people in the ancient world, Jewish or otherwise. Just as I suspect it wouldn't be a huge stretch for people today, people who refer to that same kind of guiding force as the universe. But what John says here about the Word is where things get really interesting. He says the Word became flesh and lived among us, and that we have seen his glory. John takes that concept of the Word and makes it a lot less abstract. He says that this guiding rational force that lies at the heart of the cosmos actually came to earth with a glory, a presence that people could physically see with their eyes. Now, that all alone on its own wouldn't have been entirely rattling. It would have brought back some memories for Jewish people. Remember when Moses and the Israelites were wandering around in the wilderness for those 40 years after they had escaped from Egypt? During those years, the presence of God, the glory of God, would come to them at times. God came to them in the form of a cloud that would actually descend from the heavens and rest on the tabernacle, Remember, the tabernacle was the tent that the Israelites set up during their travels that acted as their temple before they had a temple. So that cloud that would descend, it was the glory of God. It was the presence of God there with them on earth in the wilderness. And yes, the people could physically see it when it was there. So again, that they would have had some familiarity with some of what John was saying here. But where things get really complicated, and in my humble opinion, quite wonderful, is when John starts to talk about flesh. He didn't just talk about the Word. He said the Word became flesh and lived among us. He takes that abstract concept of the Word and makes it not so abstract. He proclaims that this guiding force that is at the heart of the cosmos actually came to Earth 2,000 years ago, not in a cloud that descended, but rather in a human, in a man named Jesus, who came from a real place called Nazareth. John is saying that this force, this something more that we sense is at the heart of all things, what he refers to here as the Word, is actually Jesus. Jesus, who was entirely human, living fully in human flesh, and who is also, amazingly, entirely divine, showing us exactly what God is like. So the really great news we have is that this presence that some people today are calling the universe, this something more that we tend to sense exists, is not just an abstract, distant, unknowable force that we really hope might be on our side. Something more is actually God. And God isn't the narrow-minded, judgmental tyrant that so many of us fear he might be. And we know that. We know he's not like that. Because God is actually exactly like the man many people, Christians or otherwise, would name as the most amazing human who ever lived. As John writes, in Jesus, the Word became flesh. Jesus has shown us exactly what that force that lies at the heart of the cosmos, God, is like. He's like Jesus. Same character, same heart. And the cherry on top of all of that is what John says in verse 12, when he tells us that the people who believe this, not understand it because it's actually not entirely understandable, but the people who believe it in faith, that Jesus is that force, that he is the Word, those who trust that that might be true actually have the right to become children of God. So this something more that we sense is not just some distant, nebulous, unknowable force that has the ability to direct and control all things. This something more is God. God whose heart is pure love. God who isn't just for you, which he is, but actually wants to be with you, intricately involved in walking with you through all that life brings. God who wants to know you and for you to know him. God who loves you without hesitation and without bounds. For you are his precious, beloved child. Amen.
It's there in the newborn. sunrise. There in the shadows of this life, your great grace. It's there on the mountain top. Sorrow and the dancing, your great grace, oh such grace. From the creation to the cross, there from the cross into eternity, your grace finds me. Yes, your
It's my privilege and honor to pray the prayers of the people with you this week. Please pray with me. Blessed Creator God, before the world began, you were. Before the world began, you remembered us. Before the world began, you chose us. Before the world began, you were the three in one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus, Son of God, Light of the world, you have stepped into the world bringing your light. You are the Word of God. You are the truth. You are the life of all mankind. As we live in you, so you live in us. And we thank you and we praise you for your outpouring of grace over us, given in mercy and forgiveness. You bring us salvation. May we have the courage to accept your gift and live as your disciples, loving you first, God, as well as our neighbors. Teach us to seek your ways each day in your word, in teachings, in worship, in prayer, in loving relationships. Help us to stay grounded in you, for as it is written, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So as we begin this new earthly year, we lift our eyes to gaze upon your loveliness, giving you thanks for the old year that has passed, with all its blessings and heartbreaks, joys and sorrows, gifts and losses. We look forward, remembering your generosity, your abundant love for your people, your presence with us always. Mighty God of new beginnings and second chances, may we put behind us our anger, our pride, our jealousy, and just be your people, filled with love, humility, hope, peace, and joy. We pray for all those beginning this new year facing anguish, broken relationships, pain, or ill health, that you would bring your peace, comfort, and blessing. We pray for all those experiencing war, abuse, fear, that you would bring your peace, comfort, and blessing. We pray for those who are alone or marginalized, folks who are mourning the loss of loved ones or something else, and those who feel overwhelmed by life's circumstances, that you would bring your peace, comfort, and blessing to all. Stepping out in faith, longing to do your will, we pray for your guidance, Lord, in each of our lives. Bless us all, Abba Father, in your love, as we pray in the glorious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Friends, let's join now at Jesus' table. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord our God. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give God thanks and praise. It is truly right to glorify you, O Creator, and to give you thanks. For you alone are God, living and true, dwelling in light inaccessible from before time and forever. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of light, giver of all life, source of love. We bless you for all your gifts. You bring creation to birth and send prophets to awaken us to your advent among us. We praise you for that holy night of hope and the wonder of this time of joy. And we thank you for those who, like Mary, have the strength and courage to give birth to your love in the world. For those who, like the shepherds, dare to seek out the child of Bethlehem. We praise you that your everlasting light is shown to us in womb and tomb, in cradle and cross, in tenderness and compassion. For Jesus Christ, in whom you gather the hopes and fears of all the years, we bless your holy name, joining with all your people of every time and place, and with the angels and archangels who proclaim the holy birth. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. As we gather at this table, we remember that on the night before he died, Jesus had supper with his friends. He took a loaf of bread, thanked you as we have thanked you, broke the bread and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." Then he took a cup and, after giving thanks, passed it to his friends, saying, "Drink. This cup is the promise of God made in my blood. Each time you drink from this cup, remember me." Loving God, we rejoice in the gift of your grace, remembering Christ's life and death, proclaiming his resurrection, waiting in hope for his coming again. Grant that in praise and thanksgiving, we may so offer ourselves to you that our lives may proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this offering of your church, that we who eat and drink at Christ's table may share in his life. Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth and make it your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your realm where peace and justice are revealed, that we, with all your people of every language, race, and nation, may share the banquet you've promised. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ your word made flesh, and in the power of your life-giving Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Friends, will you join me in praying the prayer Jesus has taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for us. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for us. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you now to consume these gifts in the places where you are.
Gentile or Jew, servant or free, woman or man, no more. one blood, one body, one Lord of all. One cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth, we are one body in this one Lord. Many the gifts, many the in the Lord of all. One bread, one body, one Lord of all. One cup of blessing which we
And now, with gratitude for having joined together at Jesus' table, let's pray together our prayer after communion. Gracious God, may your gifts of love transform and enliven us, that we may live lives of thanksgiving. May your presence among us provoke such longing for your realm that we will never be satisfied until the whole earth knows your justice, your peace, and your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
For all the ways you give your tithes, your time, your energy to the mission and work of God here at St. Stephen's, we thank you. Would you pray with me over all the gifts given this week? May the offerings brought this day be used as seeds, planted faithfully and nurtured lovingly, so that God's way may be realized anew in this world. Grant us the humility we need to plant and then tend your precious garden. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We are through the season of lists of announcements that happen over the Christmas season, but today I do have one more announcement. We will be resuming our Wednesday morning weekly Bible study this coming Wednesday on the 8th at 10:30 downstairs in the lower hall. We'll continue on our trek through Exodus and would love to see anybody who wants to come and check us out come. You don't need to prepare anything. You don't need to know anything. Just come and we'll read through the scripture together and we'll just have a good old chat about it. So would love to see you if you're local and free on a Wednesday morning. Would love to see you out for that. Friends, go in peace, love, and care for one another in the name of Christ. And may the Spirit of God, who filled John and Jesus, fill your hearts, souls, and minds. And may the power of God that upheld them strengthen you for each day. And may the love of God that directed their every action be your guiding light and your shining star. Today and forevermore. Amen.
To destroy the works of the evil one and the kingdom of darkness with light.